Hi, my name is Danny Morrell, and this is Real Estate Sales, the podcast for real estate professionals and entrepreneurs that are on a path of daily inspired action leading towards success in every area of their lives. Get ready to once again break through and realize your true potential.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 6. Can't believe it. It's already the 6th one of the Real Estate Sales Show. My name is Danny Morrell. I'm your host. I have a very, very special guest with me today. This young lady, pretty cool story actually, because literally in less than 24 months has more than doubled her business. And I bring that up because a lot of us in the industry, or I think in any business for that matter, use the terminology like, I want to take it to the next level, right? I always love when people say that because I'm like, what the heck is the next level? Like, get specific with that, right? Or they'll say things like, I want to double my business. And yet actually making that happen is a completely different thing, right? And that's the purpose of today's show. If you want to double your business, or heck, even if you want to increase it in 2016 by 30 or 40% over what you did in 2015, then I think you're at the right place at the right time because this young lady actually did it. So without further ado, please help me welcome Ms. Annette Fraley. Say hello, Annette.
Hi, how you doing, everyone?
I'm doing fantastic, but you didn't ask me that. So how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you want to ask me how I'm doing?
How are you doing, Danny?
I'm doing good. So we got that out of the way. So Annette, have you been listening to the show?
Yes, I have.
Pretty good stuff, right?
Amazing stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so I'm excited to kind of get our questions answered from you here. Let's start off with this. Let's just do the basics. How long have you been in the real estate business?
I've been in the business for 10 years.
10 years. Wow.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. That's a long time.
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right, good. And what got you into the business in the first place?
Well, originally I came from a mortgage servicing background. That's where I worked for about 8 years. And, you know, I'd see these amazing AEs come in their amazing suits to pick up their checks as I saw in a corporate office. And I was just inspired by these women and people coming in and out of our office all the time. And it's funny because I would say, that's what I want to be doing. That's what I want to do. And in 2005, I basically took the leap of faith and quit my job and got a real estate license.
Awesome. So 2005, you're watching these big commission checks coming through and yeah. You said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go get my real estate license.
Yes.
Fantastic. So 2005, when did you actually get your license?
It was May 2005. Okay. I actually got licensed. Yeah.
All right.
It all happened pretty quickly.
Okay. Fantastic. And then did you start working in the business right away or how did you transition?
Yeah, I transitioned, probably really started working in the business late 2005, beginning of 2006.
Okay.
I also had my son around the same time. So I kind of took that time to really study and get my license and pretty much just took the leap of faith of quitting and just dove right into it. My first event, actually, I met this person. I had nothing. I knew nothing about real estate, literally nothing. And they said, you know, you should go to this event. You have to go to this event, as a matter of fact. And it was a Mike Ferry event.
Okay.
I hadn't even really received my license yet because back in the day, you know, they mail it to you
right. And
you'd have to call in. So I went to this event and pretty much just took off from there. I was so inspired and I knew I had to just do it full time.
Okay, good. And so, you know, it's interesting because you're mentioning pretty interesting years, like 2005, 2006, you know, probably not the greatest timing in the world to quit your job, right? And go into real estate. So tell me about that. I just can't wait to hear this. Did it get rough for you at any point in time?
Yeah, it got really rough. So right towards when I started really figuring out what to do in real estate, I'd say mid to the end of 2006, you know, we started studying the stats and the market activity. And I realized, oh, my God, the market is tanking.
Right.
Why did I ever quit my little, you know, $60,000, $70,000 job a year to do this? Now, what am I going to do? I don't even know what to do. So I started, you know, just making calls, hitting up people that I knew, started really learning the BPO process, the foreclosure process, because that was the background that I had originally came from. Right. And they're like, well, you know, you're just going to have to do BPOs and learn how to do it. So that's pretty much what I did. I signed up for every BPO company I could. These things would take me hours, like 2 to 3 hours to do one CMA. And I'd probably make like $60 or something. Yeah. So it was a learning curve, that's for sure. But eventually, you know, at the end of 2006 and 7, the market really shifted. I was able to get some REO accounts and get the experience on how to manage it. And pretty much like 2007, 8, 9, you know, my business exploded from that.
Okay, good, good. So I'm gonna take you back because I caught on to something you said. And when you said it, I immediately pictured something in my mind. Here you are, brand new mother. You know, brand new baby boy, got a great, obviously a lot of responsibilities in your household. Specifically, I think as a woman, you have more responsibilities and it's just different. It's something that I, as a man, will probably never understand, you know? And so maybe we could talk about that, you know, but, you know, you have all that going on and yet you said something. You said, I took a leap of faith and I just decided to go for it and I decided to quit. Now, I'm going to bring this up because I've got a lot of people that listen to the show that may not necessarily be in real estate. They're just, you know, regular folks that might be in a job the way you were, yet they have a calling. There's something going on inside their heart that is saying, you know, maybe I'm meant for more, whatever the case may be. What was the process that you went through to make that big leap of faith? And more specifically, what was the thinking going on behind that? Why did you do that?
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because it was such a big, huge thing for me. The tug in my heart to be able to be closer to my heart. And, you know, you get into real estate thinking you're going to have an amazing and abundance of time, right?
Right.
So that was my initial thought. But just really being able to provide so much more for my son, I knew that sitting at that desk for 8 to 10 hours a day was just not going to cut it for us. And I remember so distinctively making a specific commitment to myself and to him that, you know what, this is not enough.
Yeah.
And now that, like, I have, you know, I'm doing this again because this is my second baby. I knew that I had to just really step outside myself to grow and be able to do, you know, and live the life that I have now where I could really be flexible with my time. I can be there for him because back then, you know, I was gone 14, 15 hours a day, every single day.
Yeah.
So I couldn't bear doing that to my little one again. Like I just couldn't. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I had to do that with my first son, you know?
Yeah.
And it was tough. Like it was heartbreaking to just not be able to go to the little awards or, you know, just the little stuff that's really important. At the end of the day, that's what we're working for. That's what we're doing everything for, you know, as a mom and as a parent, I think, period. But especially as a mom, like our first duty and tug to our heart is our children. There's just nothing more important than that. So that was really my motivation to go full-heartedly and know that I could do this, to be there with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, Annette, I'm going to stay here because this is good. Okay. You know, I hear all that, right? And the first thing that I heard you say, was it wasn't so much the money. It was like the time freedom. Am I correct in that? Was that your main motivating factor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd sit at that desk sometimes. I mean, I remember sometimes when I have tough days in real estate now, I picture myself sitting at that desk, like literally crying, praying, like, I just want to go. I want to be able to drop my son off. I want to be able to pick him up. I want to like surprise him at lunch. So like that was it. That was it for me.
Okay. Okay, good. And it's funny you bring that up because there's always going to be tough days. And I always try to remind people, especially those of you listening, think back to when you first got started in doing your business, how excited you were, how motivated you were, how inspired you were. If you can stay in that state, right? I promise you that the tough days will minimize themselves a lot more. Would you agree with that, Annette?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. We have to remind ourselves because we get caught up in the mundane at every single day.
Right.
And you know, it's not about, like, we got to look at the bigger picture because that's what really inspires us. That's what takes us, you know, that growth that we need.
Right, right. Okay. So now I'll ask you this and then we'll get into like the business. Okay. There's a mom out there sitting right now. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of them, okay? Because to be clear, I'm a believer in the fact that we live in the richest country in the world with the most amount of freedom, the most amount of possibility. There's just an abundance of opportunity for you to do what you love to do and be able to earn a great income and at the same time be able to like hang out with your kids, you know?
Absolutely.
And yet so many don't see that, Annette, you know? And I get it. I know that there's a lot of fear. And I know that for some people, not seeing that paycheck every single week is what kind of keeps them captive. Yet we're living at a day and age where the internet is allowing people who know how to bake to come up with a baking course and put it online. And voila, you're making six figures. I mean, it's that crazy yeah. What's happening right now, right? What encouragement will you give those mothers out there right now that are listening? They may be in real estate, they may not be in real estate, or even worse, they may be in real estate, but they're half-assing it right now, right? What encouragement would you give them?
You know, I would encourage them to take a moment for themselves to really take a step and a look back at what drives them, what motivates them, what's their passion, what really lights that fire for you. And then go out there and be bold and take that action.
Right.
Because there's just, we could sit in thought and fear forever, yeah. Literally. And I mean, time will pass anyways. Why not do something that's amazing? Why not do something great? Why not step outside of yourself?
Right.
You totally can do it. And it all comes down to your mindset and you really deciding for yourself. Like once you decide anything, good or bad, like, that's it. You're going to do it, good or bad. Like, you know, so I think that's the biggest thing is sometimes we hold on to our hesitancy. Our mind gets in the way. We think, well, if this only happens, if that only happens. But at the end of the day, I think once we make that decision for ourselves, it just takes off.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Good. So let's, I feel like I had to dig there a little bit on that because I know there's a lot of people listening and I think that that this was great. Okay. So, all right. So, last year you closed 39 transactions, right?
Yes.
2015.
Yes.
Share with everyone, what's the commissions earned on something like that?
Just about 200,000.
Which is a lot better than 60 grand sitting behind a desk, right?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Good. Awesome. And yet, Annette, 2 years ago, which, you know, would have marked, I guess, what is that, your eighth year in the business, right? Seventh
yes.
year in the business?
Yes.
You only closed 16, 17, was it? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
18 right about transactions, there? Yes.
All right. So let's talk about that, right? Because here's a gal that said, I'm going for it. You had the energy, you had the spirit, you had the courage to take that leap of faith. Yet 7 years in the business, you were still kind of stuck at that 17, 18 mark, right? So
yes.
I want to talk about number, and I say stuck respectfully, and I say that just because I know who you are and I know what you're capable of, and quite honestly, you know you can do 100. That's not that the issue, but I guess first what I want to discover is what had you in 18, right? What was it? Your surroundings? Was it your thought process? Was it maybe fear? Right? And then we'll go into what you did to break through from there.
Okay. So I think it's a little bit of everything that you just mentioned. You know, I account everything that I do, good or bad, to my mindset and my thought process. I'm clear on that 100%. So, and a lot of it was fear-based because I came from, you know, in 2009, 10, even 11 from doing a lot of transactions in REO. And then all of a sudden, like the switch was turned off. Like it was just a completely different thing. So I went into kind of like a fear-based mode. Like, what do? I have to change this whole dynamic. How do I move forward?
Right.
So I think I got in a real funk. Hmm. And there was like a lot of adjustment and growth that I had to really look at myself and really like kind of take a step back of like, whoa, okay, what are you doing here now?
So how long were you in that funk? Were you in that range of production for a couple of years?
No, but I guess realistically about 2 years, my production continued to go down.
It did.
It did. Yeah. Wow. So like from, I'd say probably 2012, and 13 were probably like some of my lowest, you know, productions from prior years.
Okay. All right, good. And so, again, you know, when you think about it, I want to get to the root of this. I mean, because it's like, you know, you knew you weren't producing at the level that you should have. And here's a person that had the courage to go out and break through knowing that she didn't belong behind that desk. What do you think kept you there?
I think the fear.
Yeah.
I think the fear, like I started questioning, am I good enough? Hmm. Am I really good enough to do this? No,
at a high level.
At a high level, yeah, right. Because at that point, like you just have to really go out there and get it, you know, really go out there and do it and make it happen. So I feel like a lot of it was fear that kept me there. As I look back, you know, the people I was surrounding myself with, the energy that I was bringing to the table was very low.
Yeah.
Because I was just, you know, I was down kind of all around.
And when you're down, it's funny how this happens. But when you're down, don't you love being around others that are kind of down with you?
Totally. Right. Totally. Like, right. That's all I would surround myself with. Like, yeah. You know, it's funny. I got into those habits of like, oh, let's just take a 2-hour lunch. Oh, yeah, let's, right? You know?
Yeah.
Which is now, it's just unheard of. But.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And then, you know, obviously you work here with us at our company, right? So I remember I started poking at you, right? Which, by the way, do you know on Facebook there's this thing called you can poke people?
Yes.
I don't even know what that is. Like people have poked me from like 10 years ago and I'm like, what is a poke? Right? And then anyways, I go off on tangents every once in a while, but that's okay. So I remember I started approaching you because I remember I'm a big believer in people and I know you, I know Steve, you guys are awesome freaking people. And I knew like you had more in you, I knew he had more in you. And I remember I would speak to you about this. I said, this is going to be great for like the both of you, right? But it took you time.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Like a year or so, right?
Yes.
So here you go, right? You know you're stuck and here's someone that can help. And it's like you decide to like, no, let me just stay stuck for a little bit longer, right? Like, what is that? You know, tell me about that. Because I personally, I'm a believer in making fast business decisions. I really am. And I'm a believer in surrounding yourself with the absolute best. And, you know, I see something that's better than what I'm doing. I don't even think twice. I just go, you know? What happened there? What was it?
We're not all as gifted as you are in making those decisions. But yeah, I think part of it was probably my comfort zone, okay, you know?
Right.
Like I was kind of very much left alone in the other office. Nobody bothered me. Nobody cared if I came in. Nobody, you know, cared if I didn't, basically. So I think it was me, again, just deciding to really step out of my comfort zone, step out of myself a little bit and know that I'm going to get uncomfortable and be ready to kind of fill in those shoes. And for me, it's always a mental process that goes back to my kids, to be honest with you. It all comes down to that for me. So it's really, it's like, okay, how is this going to affect them? How am I going to make it work? So it's all those little adjustments that have to take place in my home and with them. And then I'm like, okay, all right, guys, I can go now. Like, this is the plan. This is how we're going to do it. And, you know, they're always on board, of course. They're awesome. Steve and the kids.
Awesome. Awesome. And it's funny, you just said that, you took me back, because I remember, you know, here I am. I was trying to like push you into greatness. Like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And then you would mention, well, wait a minute. I vividly remember this now. You'd be like, well, I got to make sure that, it jives with the kids and my schedule and all that. And secretly in my mind, I would think, and this is for all of you guys, please pay attention to what I'm about to say. I would think to myself, you know, if you learn what to say, how to say it, if you build a great business model, if you surround yourself with great business people, you'll actually do twice the business in half the time. You know,
so true.
It is, right? But yes. But it's taught, like, I can't just say that to people, because they can't even see. They're like, what? How is that even possible? You know? So I kind of got to keep my mouth shut just for a little bit. Like, I kind of got to hook you first, right? Get you in. And then once I get you in and I let you see possibility, then you do that, right? And I'm obviously speaking about that because we obviously work together, but it's the same thing for those listeners that are listening right now, right? I really, really believe that if you continue listening, you're going to learn and pick up nuggets that will help you do more in less time. So let's talk about that, Annette. You were at 18, and that first year you hopped up to how much? How many deals was it?
Last year?
2014.
32.
So that's a big jump.
Yes.
Okay. So give me, I'm brand new. I want to make a big jump. Step A, B, C, D. Give me two or three pointers. Like, you got to do these things if you want to get better.
The first thing is make a commitment to be disciplined and committed to a schedule.
Okay.
That's the number one thing. Number two, your health.
Hold on. Okay. What do you mean by a schedule? So, okay, let's go back to moms now. Do you schedule in those award ceremonies? Do you schedule in, right? There's no need to miss any of that stuff, is there?
Yes. No, there's no need to miss any of that. And a big thing that I do for myself is I look at the schedule that I would have when I worked at that corporate office. Mm. I take myself there because I did that for, 15, 20 bucks an hour or whatever it was. So why not do that for me?
Right.
Why sell myself short? So that's the kind of schedule I commit myself to.
Okay.
When I say commit to and be disciplined with a schedule.
Awesome. Okay. Fantastic. And so number two was?
Number two was health. Like being healthy, working out. Because if you don't have that stuff in line and obviously getting enough rest, everything else is just going to boggle down and drag you down. And it's going to be so tough to get up early. It's going to be so tough to have the energy to share with your clients. I mean, it's just, when you're unhealthy, you can push through that for a short period of time, but it's not sustainable over a long period of time. It's just not. It's too tough.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that over the weekend, we had a little bit of fun and I probably ate things I should not have eaten, right? And at the same time, my lower back was just really tight. When you combine all of those things, like I literally felt sick yesterday. And this is me, like I do a pretty good job at this stuff, you know?
I know. It was Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
All the sugar I could possibly handle.
Exactly. And yet, it was to the point where yesterday I had to work from home because I just did not feel myself at all. Like I wasn't sick, but I felt sick, I went and I got a chiropractor adjustment. I went for a run and I did my morning workout. I got an hour and a half massage and literally I feel like a brand new man. And, for those of you listening, this is a very serious point. You got to have your health in order because if not, you won't feel great. You won't feel great about yourself. And that like regurgitates whenever you speak to anybody. So
Literally. It really does. And I think too, like so importantly, sometimes we think, oh, it's so tough to get to the gym or it's so hard to eat healthy or whatever, the challenges for ourselves. But the opposite of not doing that, we almost like people get used to feeling sick, like how you're saying you were feeling. And that's how I was feeling yesterday too. And the day before, like I was feeling terrible because I ate and I literally felt it. And I think we just, we're kind of walking around asleep about that sometimes and thinking that's the normal. And it's so not.
It's not. It's not.
It's not.
It's the same way you thought 18 was normal.
Yes. Yes.
It's not.
Yeah.
And it's the same way that you thought 15 to 20 bucks an hour was normal.
Yes.
It's not, people. It absolutely is not. It's just what you are accepting as your current reality. That's all it is. So.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That was kind of a powerful little.
Yes, that is.
That was good. All right, good. Okay, so we have schedule. We have health. What else? What else would you say?
And then the third thing I would say is have fun. You know, you need to be doing something that you can have fun with. Like your job should not be misery.
Right.
You know, because people will sense that from you. People, you know, sometimes you see somebody that they walk into a room and they just light it up.
Right.
And you're like, I want to talk to them.
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are you eating? You know, what's going on with you?
Right.
Like people sense that. People want to be around that. And I feel like that's what success is about. You know, it's about you finding your happy place, and automatically that gives everybody else, you know, the privilege to do that for themselves, like allows it for everybody else around you.
Absolutely. It's funny, you know, we had an event last week. We had about 300 realtors there. And one of the biggest thing I spoke about was making sure that you guard your emotions and understanding your emotions and understanding that the happiest people make the most amount of money and are the most successful in life.
Sucks.
And it's kind of crazy. If you're watching this on YouTube, like you can see Annette and myself, we're both like just like smiling. We're happy. We're having a good time, you know? And so many people have a hard time with that, Annette. Give me a little tip. If I wanted to be happier right now, right? What would I do? And I'm asking you this one because I know you do a lot of work spiritually. I know the church you go to, and I know that this is like a big area for you. So if I want to be happier, what would I do?
Well, I think you plugged into a lot of it, which is spirituality. You know, I think you have to have a connection with your spirituality. The health piece component is a big part of it. But just reminding yourself, you know, everybody wakes up in a funk sometimes. Everybody has, you know, bad days. Everybody has life slapping you in the face,
right,
you know, unexpectedly. So, you know, you're not going to be at, you know, super happy all the time. But what you do got to be is you got to be in gratitude even for those tough moments.
Yeah.
You got to just be grateful, because in those tough moments is when we grow the most.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to like step back and say, okay, what good is trying to come from this? Like, what is the lesson for me to learn so this doesn't happen to me again on those bad days?
Right.
And on the good days, really be in the moment of whatever that is that made you happy. You know, sometimes it's just a conversation with your kids. Sometimes it's looking at a picture of them, or like those moments when you guys are being silly. Sometimes that's what I have to do. I literally have to bust out my phone and look at pictures of the kids and just laugh and that was
good.
So much fun at Disneyland, you know?
Good.
And it might be nothing, but it's just that taking you to that space of like, okay, you know what? That conversation, that situation doesn't matter in the big picture. And like,
absolutely,
I can move forward from that.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So then you go from 18 to 32. And then last year you did it again. So it wasn't a fluke. You went up to 39.
Yes.
So let's talk about your niche. I know that you work with investors, right?
Yes.
And you love it and it works great. Give me a couple of tips if I wanted to start to approach investors, which, by the way, I don't recommend anybody do this till you're at least 7, 8, 9 years in the game. I really, really don't. As a matter of fact, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I have this investor. Like right away in my mind, I think you're better off just letting it go, because it takes not only a certain amount of knowledge about the transaction, it takes an immense amount of leadership to work with investors, right? So give us some tips. I want to start working with investors. What would I do?
Well, gosh, it's funny. I'm just having the thought process that I used to have about working with investors. So it's coming full circle for me right now, realizing it. But some tips I would say, number one is really know your market. You know your market stats. You really have to know your numbers, because investors are numbers driven. They're not emotional people, you know?
Right.
It's all about the numbers. So you have to know, really understand not only the values, but the as is, you know, the repaired values, you have to have some knowledge of, you know, not experts in construction or anything, but you do have to have some sense of repair values as well. And be able to be like fast paced. So investors want everything very quickly, obviously. So being able to be very organized, being able to be very detailed, and setting yourself apart, I think, from the rest. You know, like, what can you offer this investor that you want to work with that maybe, you know, Joe Schmo can't? So it's just bringing in some value for them. You know, it might be you taking that extra step for them. They're big on marketing, they're big on staging. So you providing those kind of services or the value of those services for them is a big deal to them.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Tell me about your team. Tell me about the team of people that, and I'm not necessarily speaking about salespeople. I'm speaking about the importance of having a good contractor to go to, the, you know, those sorts of things. How important are those, and what are the key components that somebody should consider having?
So each person is such a key component in working with an investor. Everybody's role has to be very clearly defined. So everybody's doing like a specific thing. You don't want to have an assistant that is your TC, runs your comps, and also keeps you on track, you know? Because that's just, it's too much, it's overwhelming. So our team basically breaks up to, well, Steve, you know, he works with me. So he's kind of our main acquisition manager, I guess you can call him.
So he's
pretty much dealing with the numbers, making the contacts as far as getting the deals is concerned. Once we have something that's solid that I think that we think we can work for us, then we have the construction people that go out, and they actually go out to the property to look for the repairs. So based on that, and then they report back to the acquisition manager, and then that's how we come up with a value on what we can offer for the price. Taking all the numbers from resale to acquisition to, you know, all of it, basically taking it, everything into account. And then from there, you know, once we acquire the property, obviously it goes to a TC. They handle all the escrow process. And then once we close on the transaction, the construction side. So once that, the rehab process is done, then the file goes back to our TC, basically. And then they handle the, they pretty much handle a lot of it as far as the utilities, ordering, you know, termite, any in-city inspections that are going to be required, just getting everything ready for marketing. And then from there, it comes over to me. I pretty much handle all the marketing side on the, you know, traditional real estate side.
Gotcha.
And from there, you know, obviously it would continue as a normal transaction through through the escrow process.
Awesome. Fantastic. And so I noticed, which is key, the way you have it built is that you just focus on what you are good at.
Yes.
And everybody else focuses on what they are good at.
Exactly.
And so this is just like fundamental, you know, how to build a strong organization. And, you know, Annette, when you're first getting started in the business, you're the one good at everything, obviously, you know? And so maybe in one of these podcasts, what I'll do is I have step-by-step how to build a strong organization. Yet, I guess the main question is this, is why did you decide to build it that way? Does it, does that attach itself back to your desire to have time freedom?
Yes, absolutely. Steve and I mean, that is our whole goal and picture, is to basically build a business where we have residual income, you know, and we can really just focus on each other, focus on our family, and, you know, pop into work.
Right. I love it. I love it. By the way, do you guys own any apartment complexes?
No, no complexes, just homes, residentials.
Because I'm going to hold you accountable same way you can hold me accountable. That's kind of like what I'm learning is the absolute way to go. I wish someone would have had that conversation with me back when I was 20. But I move fast, so I'll be able to do, you know, in two or three years what most it'll take 10 or 20. So
I will hold you to that.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to own 1,000 doors.
I love it.
That's my goal. 10 years. So I'm 38. It. By the time I'm 48, 1,000 doors. Done. Goodbye. Yes. Sayonara. We'll be hanging out somewhere.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So now I'm gonna go into this portion of the show. We're going to wrap up here. But this, guys, is something new. What we're going to do, if you haven't done so already, go to Facebook and find me, Danny Morrell. All right. Look me up on Facebook. Not my personal page. That one is maxed out. You got to go to my actual business page. And what I'm going to do is every week as I'm interviewing people live during the interview, I'll post, you know, I'll notify you so that you can potentially ask whatever questions that you want. And I've got a good question here from a gentleman by the name of Louis Fajardo, Annette. He says, in working with investors, which skill would you say is the most important to master and why?
Communication.
Okay, communication.
Yeah, I would say communication is the most important because you can know your numbers, you can know the stats, you can know what you need to do, but if you don't communicate that efficiently and effectively with your clients, and this just goes all the way around, but with your investor, they're in such a fast pace and those deals come and go so quick.
Yeah.
You have to really be able to, you know, effectively communicate to them, you know, so they can make a decision.
Right. And you know, and that one word that I think you forgot, but I think you forgot it because you just are this, is confidently.
Yes.
You know, you have to communicate confidently.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, they're going to you. It's been pretty interesting here in Southern California, the market for the last 3 years, November through January or so. And it's typically like this, but you know, being that we've been in a market that's been kind of increasing, we feel some major dips, November, December, January, you know, mid-February or so, and then it starts to pick back up. But for an investor, that's critical to know, you know, to buy or not buy, what to offer, what not to offer. And that's part of the homework you guys got to be doing, is that you have to know your market, you have to know the trends, and then you got to be able to communicate that in a confident fashion.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
I agree.
So Annette, what's the future hold? What do you think in this year? How many deals will you close?
It makes me a little sick still to say the number, but it's 65.
Yeah.
65.
What's up with that? This is, you know, I've heard you say that before.
I know. It's a big number from 39. That's why I'm stepping into some really big shoes.
But
I'm confident I'm going to get it done though.
But Annette, can I help you here?
Yes, please.
It's a big number based off of what your normal is.
Yes.
And we just spoke about that. Because if you think about it this way, for some people, 65 is Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So it's really all what you make it. You know, 65 is a long way from 18, but dang it, 65 is why we left the job in the first place, right?
You're absolutely right. So 65 is nothing.
It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's no big deal, right? So anyways, Annette, one last tip, one last thought. And you know what? I'm going to do it this way. One last tip to those moms out there, you know, who are doing a fantastic job, who've got to, you know, take care of their home, you know, have a deep desire to do something big. You know, what would you say to the moms that are listening right now?
To all the moms out there, I would say, take a moment for yourself, you know, take a moment for yourself and realize what is that passion, that burning inside of you, and go out there and do it. You could do it with your kids. Bring them along. It's a journey. Enjoy it. Have fun. Don't hold back.
Awesome.
You got way too much to serve and give.
Awesome. You've got way too much to serve and give. I'm going to write that one down. So, friends, that was it. Episode number 6 is in the books. How was that? Did you enjoy that, Annette?
I loved it. Yes.
Yeah, that was 40 minutes and it felt like 4 minutes, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I think we're going to help a lot of people with this episode. If you haven't already done so, guys, make sure to subscribe. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, just look up Danny Morrell or look up the Real Estate Sales Show. And more than anything, this is all free content. It is value-based. We are just trying to help you achieve what it is that you want to achieve in life, the way that you can help us, please go in and give us a 5-star rating, write a review. That's a very important part, write a review. And then make sure that you share it with all your family members and friends. So Annette, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, I appreciate the time that you've invested into a lot of people. I think that you're gonna help a lot of people, specifically some people out there that might be holding back. And I think that this message might tug at their heart just enough to get them to take some action. So
awesome.
We'll see you next time here on the Real Estate Sales Show. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks.